When begins the eternal learning curve? The more you know, the more you realize you have more to learn.
At the end of the day, you can be as good as gold, but if you don't have passion for wine, no matter how good you are, it isn't going to work.
And Mother Nature is your partner all the way until it's done.
Whereas the U.S., you go into a big grocery store and you have 2,000 different glass bottles full of wine.
My father told me, never work for money, work to accomplish something. Making money is the result of doing something right.
The bottom line is, it's all about the soil.
Well, the results are really the benefit of our doing our homework.
What makes winemaking so interesting and fascinating is that every single year it's been different.
There was definitely a sense that we were all sort of in a pioneering endeavor. It was fun.
We say, so drink the wine. That's kind of our motto here at Life Between the Vines. One of the cool things about wine, besides drinking it, is the people you drink it with. And the stories you hear and tell with wine all come together to make every bottle unique. Discovering and tasting wine shouldn't be a homework assignment. And we believe that the people who are closest to wine have the best stories. So open a bottle. And welcome to podcast number 108. This week, we feature Jean-Charles Boisset of Boisset Family Estates. Cheers.
Raymond Vineyards, Buena Vista, Amber Hill, Deloche, Sonoma Cuvée, and JCB are just a few of the California wineries Boisset Family Estates owns, not to mention France and other areas of the world. And with that in mind, Jean-Charles Boisset is a master of hospitality. Just ask those who attended Raymond Vineyards' Napa Gras during Premier Napa Valley last February. We sat down with Jean-Charles during Premier Week to chat about his love of art, his passion for great wine, and in the process, got a taste of his sense of humor.
Jean-Charles, this is Ray. Ray, this is Jean-Charles. Bonjour, Ray.
Je chante ce soir pour toi.
I didn't know I was going to be serenaded today.
Yes. And I have my sister says every time you sing, it rains. So I'm the worst singer there is ever
recorded. Is that cause and effect kind of thing?
Yes.
Oh, good gosh. Yes. First things first, cheers.
Cheers!
Jean-Charles, thank you very much.
My pleasure, Ray. Santé, as we say in good old French.
Good old French.
To your health, your style, your continuation, and your continued success, naturally.
Same to you as well, thank you. That is lovely. This is the full effect of the wine right here.
Ay, ay, ay. We are in the red room between the texture, the fabric, you, the wine. God, this is a perfect, perfect round.
I'm done. That's good. Thank you. Again, thank you for having us back in the Red Room to Raymond, and a real pleasure to sit back and talk to you about what you do for a living, which I think is just wonderful.
Thank you.
And I guess what I want to do is just for a moment to kind of go back to the beginning a bit. You were originally from Burgundy, correct?
That's right. And Ray, as welcome you back, this is your home. When your name is Ray, hence Raymond, you are welcome in your winery anytime.
I like that. My winery.
Absolutely. Your name is on the door. We won't give you the key because it's a big one, but you're welcome anytime because it's always open. We'll give you the secret code and you can come into the Red Room any day, anytime.
And trust me, I will take advantage of that.
Of course. We count on it.
I appreciate that. And, you know, we've talked to our listeners about this in the past. What an incredible room it is. What an incredible place to taste, because you're just surrounded by this wonderful, warm feeling and you get relaxed.
That's
and you're
right.
Not in a hurry to go anywhere, which is very much the French way, isn't it?
Well, we've tried to create an environment which is all about the texture of the wine. So Cabernet is a deep, intense, at the same time, silky, velvety wine. So we wanted to represent it around all the fabrics you can find in the Red Room. So you have velvet curtains, but at the same time you have silk, you have red silk, naturally red leather, which you find in wines, and all the different tones of wine with on the carpet, as you could see, animal flair, because there's a lot of animal guts into the wine of Cabernet.
I was talking about Burgundy, and what a great place to come from, what a great place to be born. Tell me a little bit about your start.
Well, a very enjoyable start, born in the vineyards, into a winery, which was our family home. So very fortunate to have the pleasure to touch wine, grapes, berries, as a fruit, as a vegetable you would have in your garden. So my little garden was really the vineyards of Vougeot and the Clos Vougeot. So it was a pretty good start at the age of 1, 2, or 3 years old. And I was very fortunate to be born on top of the winery. So my bedroom was literally on top of the tanks as well as the barrels. So my playing ground was actually the winery. So very fortunately for my parents, to my sister, to friends, we were acquainted with wine since birth. So I had the pleasure to make it since birth, to taste it even before birth, thanks to my mother still drinking wine when she was pregnant. And as the first wine...
In the old days.
And as the first wine I had was a Clos Vougeot when I was just born. My father did the usual wonderful French tradition where he put his little finger into my mouth with a little bit of Pinot on it. And I got obviously contaminated at an early age. And that passion really I was born with, but it was very natural. You know, born in a small village, 176 inhabitants, the doors are open, you know all your neighbors, you cultivate the gardens at an early stage, you live in the countryside, you breathe the vineyards, you breathe nature. So when you get to be acquainted with that, it doesn't get any better. I think for me, ultimate luxury is actually not materialistic. It's actually a sense of space, having access to nature and having access to the simple things of life, which are the beautiful things of what the earth has to give us.
Yeah, and that makes a lot of sense. And we were talking before about the idea of scent. And for you, you know, how we obviously it's something we retain in memory. To be around this, I mean, that just takes you back to your childhood, your entire life, doesn't it?
It does. And one of the things I've always done as a child, my mother keeps reminding me, is I put everything on my nose. I want to smell everything. And I'm very sensitive to scents because, yes, you are in the middle of a vineyard. You have pollinization. You have all the effect of what's happening in the vineyards, but you have it as well in the winery. So since birth, I've been in the winery, on top of a winery, on the side of a barrel, smelling wine, white wines, red wines, rosé, and really understanding the textures of whatever things goes around it. So you developed a great sense of wanting to bring your emotions to play all the time, whether it's your mouth, put things in your mouth. You do that as a baby, but I still do that as an adult. Whether it's sound, very important when you listen to fermentation, it's a beautiful melody. Conversion of sugar into alcohol is beautiful and great sound. Smells, I don't need to tell you. The winery is a beautiful perfumery. It's like a perfume shop throughout the evolution of wine. And then the sense of touch is very important. You touch your grapes, you touch your berries, you touch the pits, you touch the wine in fermentation, you touch the barrels, and then ultimately you touch the cork, the bottles, and that liquid, and the touch of that wine in your mouth. So all those emotions, I think, very fortunately, I was acquainted with them early. I had grandparents and parents who always asked me, what do you smell? What do you feel? What do you sense? So you ask yourself those questions and suddenly it takes you into a world where you're always asking yourself questions about yourself and about what you sense. And I think that's fascinating. And that's what we try to do here in the Corridor of Senses is the sense of touch and the sense of smell, which translates, as you know, into how we describe wine.
And obviously one of your big focuses is education, which I'm going to come back to. Geez, I don't want to ask this question, but I'm going to ask it anyway. Was there a time you wanted to get away from wine when you were younger?
Well, as you talk about education, I was very fortunate. My grandparents on both sides were school teachers. I was surrounded with teachers, surrounded with people fascinating like my parents with history, with geography, with art. So I got very tempted, obviously, to discover the world early on. I was always very attracted into the arts, whether it's fashion, whether it's design, whether it's interior design, whether it's architecture. I, however, never felt that I would be branching away from wine. Branching out for a short period of time, for sure, because you want to discover other avenues. But the beauty of wine, Ray, is you can express yourself in whichever way you want. And as you've seen at Raymond or Buena Vista or Deloach or Vougeray or Boisse in France or whatever wineries we own, we've created an atmosphere that really represents who we are and as well as what a certain vision of life is. So the beauty with wine is you could kind of do everything you want. It's the beginning of civilization. It's the beginning of conversation. We could talk about anything thanks to wine. So tempted to be in another world? Not really. My temptation in life is, an ultimate objective is really to make people dream, to really want to transport them into another stratosphere, to transcend their a priori idea of where they're going. You go to a winery, I'm going to go to a bar, I'm going to taste wine. No, it's much bigger than that. And I think taking from someone's view to someone else's vision and instilling them ideas and a perception of what it can become and taking them there throughout that journey is great. So traveling is always fun as an industry. Art is phenomenal. Interior design is great. Fashion, because you travel through fabrics and designs and shapes and forms. So I really love it all as long as it deals with the arts and with a great sense, however, of education. Because I think what I've learned early on with American education, which I really admire, in contrast with the French, is you learn in America always and you have fun. You take case studies, you take examples, you play with knowledge. In France, we're a little austere, we're a little strict with knowledge. You're going to learn it by heart. You come back at 5 o'clock, you're going to regurgitate it by heart. Whereas here, what I've loved always in the U.S., coming here to school and enjoying the program of the U.S. very much, is you learn, but you don't have the feeling necessarily always you learn. It's entertaining. And that's really what I wanted to do with wine, because it's very complex, but it's all about you at the same time. There's no set rules as far as wine. It's all about your emotion and what you sense. So what I love about what we're doing with all our wineries is that great sense of education without feeling it. And every step of the way, you discover something, you play with it, and you say, oh, it opened my mind on something. Texture, animal feel, fur, leather, that's true. I could feel that in wine. And you suddenly touch it and you correlate what you had in your mind as a word, which you could not necessarily translate as a concrete image. For me, as an example, there's one fabric at a hard time. Forever I've used it in description, silky. So many ways to think about silky. When I first really tried Cabernet, I started to think, I get it. But it took me a long time. You know, it's like flintiness. What does that mean, a flinty wine? And maybe you put your tongue on a certain stone, then you're going to get the feel of flintiness. But it's not that easy. You know, so I believe education has to be part of wineries, but in a great fun way. And the voyage, the transportation of people into another dimension, makes you come to a winery and say, wow, like we said in the Red Room earlier, I don't know if it's day or night, I don't know where I am, I'm having a great time, I'm living a dream, I'm enjoying tasting wine. And you go back into the full light outside and you going somewhere else. And that's great.
I think it's great that, again, that you offer this experience of an education. You're right. It's not something that it's being forced down your throat. It actually eases its way into you. And it is done fun, as in the sense of the hallway with the hands and just being able to get this idea of, oh, yeah, I do. I remember those tastes and those textures. Because so much of these descriptors sometimes go by people. And you have to connect up with something, don't you? Just like I talked about you connecting up with your childhood, right?
That's right. It's so important. What we do at Buena Vista on American history is very, very exciting as well, because a lot of people are not necessarily proud. Well, they're very proud of the American history, but they always say, oh, your history in France is 2 centuries old and it's fantastic, and ours is only 250. First, I always say to people, what you've achieved in 250 is phenomenal versus what we have in 2000. But number two, there's a lot of things to be proud of. So at Buena Vista, the link is not necessarily the same as here on education. It's all geared towards the past and talking about the modern days of viticulture, which dates as far back as 1859. You know, the beginning of gravity flow winemaking. Buena Vista the first, and so forth. And we bring a whole museum at Buena Vista to talk about the history of tools and the history of wine at the same time. So each winery have a unique angle. So one, you could play and have a blast and a lot of fun and say, this is crazy, sexy, insane, like some of the mannequins you may see in the Crystal Cellar. And then you go to Buena Vista and you see 19th century costumes. You welcome, like you would be in Virginia, you know, or you would be touring Monticello's and some of those places with the respect of the past. And I think, again, what is important in life is to be able, in whatever we do, like you do, you concretely vehiculate a great message with your audience and the people who love to listen to Ray. We want to do the same thing here. We don't want to leave you indifferent. You come here, you remember it. If you're in a mood to tour nature, you go to the Theater of Nature and you spend 45 minutes learning about sustainable organic biodynamic. You want to have a blending session and learn more about yourself and what you like, you blend. You want to have a formal educational class on district, you do it, and you spend an hour, you know, 45 minutes tasting five districts like you've done, and talk about the soil and the topology and the geology and the tectonic forces and all that stuff, which is great if you're in that mood. I think what is important, and I greatly learned in America, there's not one way of doing things. And that's why I adore your, obviously, your incredible country, is there's multiple ways to look at things. And as in France, we could sometimes be quite monolithic, maybe, or one-dimensional in the way we look at education or a museum or what have you. America, thanks to that amazing melting pot and different views and different cultures, allows you to have many point of entries, whatever they are. And some could be great, some not as great. It doesn't matter. You have the choice. And that's what we try to do here. If you want to come back and just get a bottle of wine and be in the Grove and just enjoy a glass of wine with a friend, you could do that here. If you want to play bocce, you could do that outside. If you want to listen to wine and music, you can, because we have a seminar on that. So you kind of craft your emploi du temps, your day, the way you wish. But again, as you said, and thank you for pointing that out, the underlying principle is always education and fun within a very high level of quality. Because we don't cut corners. As you could see, this is a Baccarat chandelier. This is amazing fabrics. This is, we don't want to cut corners because we respect you, specifically you named Ray. Your winery better be good. We better be sharp.
I appreciate that.
Well, and we want you, the pool table is the most historical maker of pool tables in America. It's made in New Jersey. It costs us more to make it here than to buy it from England. But this is a stunning table. The maker has been in existence since Prohibition time. They make the best pool table. We had to get an American table. No compromise. It has to be made in USA. So we've been very cautious from glasses, Baccarat, silverware, Christophe, you know, plates, Bernardo, you know, leather goods, Goyard, etc., etc. We want to make sure that we give you the best for your experience without breaking the banks, but for you to experience really what our view of the wine world is all about.
Well, it's also a name that's accessible to everybody, really. This is not, we talked about before about value in wines, and that's one of the big things Raymond does represent as well. That's something I've bought in the past and something I'll buy in the future. That's something anybody can do, right?
Well, you'd better, because your name is on the damn label.
I only buy it because it's got my name on it.
But to your point earlier, I think what the Raymond family did very well is they're a true Napa Valley family, five generations right here. They created Rutherford and really developed the appellation. The Rutherford dust is really them. And why we wanted to keep their dream is to make the wine, the Napa Valley Reserve, which is only $40, accessible. So you don't have to go to a $200 bottle to enjoy Napa and to have the taste and flavor of it. So we hope to be able to maintain that relationship for a long period of time, because we want Raymond to be, as you said, accessible, unique, phenomenal wines naturally, but the wines you could still get today. I don't want Napa Valley just to become wines at $200, which becomes, you know, that elitist thing. It's not what wine is about. Wine is about friendship, conviviality, is about fraternity and being able to share a glass of wine, enjoy it, talk about it, and then discover another one. And Napa Valley cannot price itself outside of that, and Raymond will certainly never do that.
That's one of the best parts of education right there, is when you sit back with other people and you compare wines and you talk about what you're tasting, because you're aware of what you're doing, right?
I mean, that's right.
Yeah, yeah. I want to talk about Buena Vista because yes. You have your foot in both valleys.
Thank you.
And I think that's very, very cool in Buena Vista being the oldest winery out here. And yes. How many years ago was that when you bought that?
Well, 2 years ago, but I need to tell you, Ray, a story because you're very much into stories and families and what has happened. My grandparents on my father's side took my sister and I in 1981, I was 11 and a half, to Buena Vista for the first time. We toured one winery. The goal of the trip was to discover the West, to understand the American way of life, which we all admired for years. I was educated with a big American spirit. Keep in mind, my grandparents escaped from, they were officers of France, they escaped from camps, they rejoined the resistance with American soldiers, fought back. So the friendship of America and France is huge, very deep, as you know, from Benjamin Franklin days to today, Thomas Jefferson and so forth. So we came, we discovered the West, and obviously I got the bug. I mean, when you come here at 11 years old, your eyes are bigger than your body, you want to move here, which was my dream. So we toured Buena Vista as the last visit. We only toured one winery, funny enough, and my sister had made wines for years at 11 and 15. We were born in the winery. We got enamored, fell in love with it. We stayed an hour there. My grandmother's bought some wine. We tasted at the hotel because at 11 and 15, we couldn't taste at the winery. Adored the wine, and I said to my sister, let's make sure we come back one day in America and make wine. My obsession, you know, in life you have an epiphany moment and it changes kind of the course of your life, was always to buy, I mean buy is a strong word, but to bring in our collection of wineries Buena Vista. My phobia, you tell me, what's your dream? Buena Vista. Full stop. Why? First California winery making premium wine. The White House of Wine, you know, that building is gorgeous. The caves and everything else. And that was my dream. So we tried to buy it multiple occasions, multiple times missed it. Always someone coming in and, you know, how it is. And finally, we could bring it in for the long term in the family. And all the things we've done at Buena Vista is forever. We will pass. Jean-Charles Boisset in years will be gone. Hopefully the later we can. But, you know, who cares? The dream of Buena Vista needs to remain. And we really shareholders of the Count vision, the founder, because he had a great vision, as well as all the people who worked at Buena Vista for all those years, for over 150. And that's the American dream. Coming here from Europe, building a great winery, creating the leading estate, the most awarded international wine ever from 1872 to today. And we're here to fulfill his dream. So what we did there was not only to renovate the history, renovate the winery. So we make wine again at Buena Vista, which did not happen for 40 years. And as well, building Buena Vista internationally. So I'm very proud to tell you, from quality of wine with Brian Maloney, Darren Kinsey, and our consultant winemaker, David Ramey, we've made award-winning wines. I cannot wait for you to taste. Number two, we're selling them in over 17 countries already, which our mission is Japanese women, women and men, French people, Russians, Hungarians, Canadians need to know that Buena Vista was started over 150 years ago and is the first California premium winery. And there's a great sense of history in California winemaking that we just didn't start 40 years ago. So, Ray, to answer your question, I vibrate for that one because this is the one which represents your passport. As an American, when people would see and taste wine, they go to Buena Vista and they say, I'm proud of this. It's not new. It's old. It's tangible. It's in stone. It exists. It's quality. This is what I want my children to drink, and this is one of my friends to discover. For that matter, we brought back as well the packaging the Count did in the 1850s. Same label. So when a European look at the label, they say, wow, this is cool. How old is it? They look at the label we've put established in 1857. People cannot believe it. And why I'm passionate about it, because people are interested in history. The world is interested in America, and they're interested to know that California started not again 30 years ago, 40 years ago, but way back. It's not just a judgment of Paris. It's good. It was a great event, but it started 100 years before. With quality Chardonnay, Pinot Noir, Cabernet. It's not just, you know, hybrids or mission grapes. Vitis vinifera came in the country in 1859, brought by the Count. So that whole process, I think our vision is education as well. We need to educate the world that America is not New World. I hate the term New World. What does it mean? We've been making wines here and great wines for 150 years. It's not New World. For me, New World is 50 years ago. We've made wines in the 1850s, which were great. Buena Vista won gold medals at the World Fair in 1872 in Vienna. Thereafter, in Paris in 1896, and then in London. They had offices in London, Vienna, Berlin in those days. So, as you can see, our passion for Buena Vista, we all feel that Buena Vista is one of the most unbelievable first lady of America. I would put Buena Vista Winery at the same level as the White House. This is why I call her the White House of Wine. I would want any foreigner putting footholds in the wine country to see Buena Vista, because this is where it started. And in life, you've got to understand the source. You've got to understand history to better know your present and anticipate the future. So that's why I always say the future is our past. Why talking about what Jean-Charles, Anna, and all of us are going to be doing when someone has done an amazing job for 150 years? We're not erasing the past, on the opposite. So we brought back a character named the Count. George Weber is a great actor who embodied the Count before we met. We met him. He was dressed as a Count, and we said we want to come full-time to become the Count again. So he goes all around the United States. He just texts me from Texas right now where he is, and he just sent me a picture of him, as a matter of fact, look at that, with, you know, the Texan star. Look, this is the Count as the sheriff, because he was the first sheriff. He just emailed that to me.
That's cool.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Because your country, our country, now I feel I'm partially American. My daughters, are Franco-Americans. They have both passports, so I'm very much into it. Is an amazing country. It's probably the best there is in the world. And it's not just about technology. It's not about marketing. It's not just about, you know, mass production and Taylorism. It's about luxury products. And America is as well about that. And I think our mission is to take it to the dimension of bringing luxury products to the world made in USA. Not just efficiencies, productivities, and low cost. It's not just about, and I admire what they've done, Walmart or Costco or whatever else. It's as well making phenomenal things in this amazing land. France just does not own the world luxury. America is part of the luxury world as long as we decided to do it. And this is what we've done with our collection of wineries. It's all about fine wines. It's all about being passionate about it and putting in that glass something that people tremble. People are electrified of pleasure and excitement and want to keep going and keep discovering more wines. So they are enchanted. I'm fine presenting French wine. As you know, this is where I started. But I'm enamored with the beginning of California because we're crafting still this amazing landscape. We've only started to define the AOC and the AVAs and the districts. So it's only the beginning. Why I'm overly joyed about the future is we have started with a great mentality, with amazing American people who understand quickly, who are willing to ask questions, who are willing to learn. So the journey will be much faster than the 2,000 years in France to be where we are.
You know, I love your passion for this country, and I thank you for that, because what you're also doing here for the Valley is being that ambassador to the world.
Thank you.
Showing what great wines are being made here and how they stand up to anything else being made anywhere. I think, and this is our next start after Prohibition, to really get the ball rolling, and Napa Valley, Sonoma, some wonderful winemaking areas in the U.S. have really come a long way. Do you envision in the future looking into Oregon, Washington, other places?
Or? We're very, very open. Obviously, America is a big place. You know, it's like looking at a whole continent of Europe when you think about it. So we produce great wines in many parts of France, Portugal, Italy, Spain, Germany, Belgium, now Southern England. So why not going beyond the states of California for sure? I need to tell you, Ray, as you know, focus is very important for us. To really manage ultimate quality is to be close to it, to really be passionately involved from the land all the way up to the winemaking. So we still have so much to do right here that I would hate to tell you, yes, we're going to run there and we're going to make a mistake and not do the right things. We already bicontinental. We already bicultural, which is a big deal. You know, it's a big spread. It's a big spread between France, Burgundy, Beaujolais, Rhone, South, and Sonoma, Carneros, Napa, and Monterey. You know, keep in mind that the distance between here to Monterey is 5 hours by car. It's the same as going from Burgundy to the south of France. So it's a country on its own. So I would be reluctant to tell you we're going to go there right away. I admire what they do, and I think those are beautiful regions producing phenomenal wines, as well as other 30 states probably in America making great wines, from New Mexico to Michigan to Virginia to everything else. So I'm very open. I don't think Pinot is only Burgundy. Hence, we've made phenomenal Pinots in Russian River with Deloach or with Buena Vista in Carneros. I don't think Cabernet is only Bordeaux. Hence, we're here. And I think those Cabernets we're trying are exceptionally outperforming 80% of what Bordeaux produce. I mean, 80% of Bordeaux is on his knee for that. So I think there's more to discover. You know, we have a great team. There's so much more. And keep in mind always my word, which I mean in every way, shape, or form, we only starting.
That kind of brings me to this point in my head that if there was ever a person much like Robert Mondavi who was ever born at the perfect time, you're him.
Well, you know, he was a great man. He's done an amazing job in the 60s and 70s and 80s, obviously, to tie in wine and food, which was very important. As America, and his wife Margaret, who I adore, as America, you know, discovered food, today America leads in food, 50 years later. Leads into local food, organic food, phenomenal restaurant. When you had the stigma in the 80s, I'm going to America, I'm just going to have burgers, forget it. Today, some of the best chefs are American, without any question. The best food is in all the cities, including Milwaukee, where you're from. So that was an important era. What we're very lucky, and he was very Napa Valley, what we're very lucky is we, born in wine, come from two continents. So we tie the Europeans and the Americans together. This is what and who we are. And we really have encompassed the whole state of California with our wineries. So very luckily, as we, and you have a standing invitation naturally, to Deloach and Leith in Alexander Valley, obviously as well to Buena Vista, you could discover our involvement in each of those regions very deeply. And I think what our generation, the 21st century, is lucky to add, with all the local technologies we have, from the one you bring for radios and sound and the dreams and the imagery we have, is as well the world of fashion, the world of art, the world of writers, the world of painters, the world of movies with the film festivals, and all the world of arts to Napa Valley and Sonoma and California at large, which belongs here. Because wine is civilization. Wine is the beginning of our culture. Wine is the catalyst of any conversation you can have. You started with wine, you can end up into politics, you can end up into anything you desire. And that's the beauty, I think, about this incredible state of California. One, it's a very powerful economy, so it brings a lot of people in. Second, you know, let's never forget Thomas Jefferson's famous line, we will be a country when our ocean and our land can spread from one ocean to the other. This is the completion of an amazing continent. And I really feel California represents, from its diversity of agriculture to viticulture, to technology, to service industry, to the arts, to Hollywood, to everything else, one of the best places to come. So I think we only bringing, it's only really the introduction of bringing a melting pot of culture and a melting pot of crafts and arts into Napa Valley and California at large.
All comes down to being creative, doesn't it?
Well, and America is certainly the most creative nation there is when you think about it.
In a lot of ways.
Well, and that's the beauty. I think the principle of democracy is the respect of others and the respect of others' vision. And that's what is beautiful. You may like the Santalina, someone else may like the Oakville, and be it. They both exist for each other's flavors and profiles. Nobody is here to tell us, I like this one better. And this is, I think, why we all here, you know, in this amazing dynamics, in this incredible country, which allows us to think and express our thoughts and our vision differently. And the concoction, the alchemy of all those thoughts creates the amazing cultural dynamics that we live in. Look at the art movement from pop art to today. Yes, you know, I'm very much into 18th century art, from Fragonard to Boucher to all those amazing French painters. But look at the dimension, you know, of Surrealist movement, which came from Dali and Dada and all those guys from Europe to the U.S. and then became something big in the U.S. and then the pop art movement and then where we are today. You know, America has taken the relay in many different things. And in any case today, do we live in separate worlds or just one world? I think we are one world and we one dynamics and one incredible planet and one incredible place to create amazing things. The only thing I regret is we have a short period of time to do it.
It's a shame. You know, Jean-Charles, I could sit here all day and listen to you talk because you're a fascinating man and I love your enthusiasm and your passion for
what you
do. That's a fabulous thing. If there were a lot more people like you, I don't know if we'd all survive with that much passion, but I think it's a beautiful thing. So cheers to you.
You're very kind. And Ray, I not only renew the invitation to you and your family and obviously all your listeners. It's very important. We're here to welcome people into the wine world. Don't think Napa Valley is that, you know, austere, elitist place where you have to spend a fortune. Come and visit us, spend time with us, enjoy our gardens, enjoy our views, enjoy the sightseeing. Put your lips into our elixir of gold. It's a purple gold what we're drinking right now. And come and see all of us because this is just the beginning of an amazing journey.
And for our listeners to find out about you online, to come visit, how would they find out about you?
Well, RaymondVineyards.com, of course, you have BuenaVistaWinery.com, and we have Boisset Family Estates as well, and we have the JCBWines.com. So everything in relation to Boisset Family Estates, you can find us, but I would suggest to use your first name, Ray, Raymond Vineyards.
Absolutely.
And this is the place, ladies and gentlemen, you could come with your family, and I insist on bringing children, and why? Because we have a whole theater of nature with animals, they could play, they could discover the world of organic, and biodynamic sustainability, and really be in touch with the most important thing is Mother Nature, because let's never forget we borrow the land of our children.
Thank you, Jean-Charles.
Thank you.
Learn more by visiting BoissetFamilyEstates.com.
Thanks for listening, and remember to like us on Facebook. Also, check out our YouTube channel. Watch for our next program featuring Ron Chandry and his daughter Rebecca of Chandry Family Vineyards in Coombsville.
Life Between the Vines was produced at Fifth Floor Recording Company in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Produced and edited by Ray Pfister. Original music by Tim Turton. Our intern is Alex McLean. Web design by Jenny Holland. Our web geek is Tim Panicucci. Photos by Jeanette Herniak. Copyright 2014.